Good morning, everyone. It is a great day in the morning. I used to have a football coach that said that when we practiced. He was a Southern Baptist preacher, but still the sentiment is true, and I really appreciate him. I've gone back and taken an account, I guess, of my life in terms of where I've been and all, and I'm convinced that the Lord was with me and provided a measure of truth along the way, but he blessed me through some men that had good intentions, and I wish I could go back. Many of them have passed now and talk with them again, but that's not possible, except when we get to heaven. I have a subject on my mind that is pretty large that I'm not sure exactly if it's going to be something that it'd be easy to talk about, but nevertheless, it's fundamental in the Word of God, and I think we need to understand what judgment and justice is. So if I were to pick a topic, it would be on judgment and justice and the mercy that He gives to us after taking that judgment out on His Son. So what is justice? A lot of people are crying out today that there seems to not be much justice. And in the government and politically, I think we have a lot of room to say that something's missing. And there is no justice outside of God. And proper judgment comes from God. So I would define it, justice, as the administering of fair, deserved punishment or reward through a righteous judge. And we see this past year how many have burned our cities and destroyed our cities, and there doesn't seem to be any justice. There seems to be no punishment. And I believe that if we keep going down this path, our nation is going to be lost, and we need to put our hope and trust in God, who is the fair judge, and see maybe what He did to establish judgment and justice. It would be nice if our leaders would do the same. And, you know, as Lady Justice is blind and she holds the scales, it should be the same for all of us. And so there is a righteous justice, and we need to maybe look at some verses that talk about His justice and see how justice was served through Jesus Christ being sacrificed. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, "He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is He." Psalms 89:13-18 says, "Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand." I believe Jesus Christ is that arm. "And high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face." Wouldn't it be so wonderful if we had truth and mercy? Many of us hear things every day that just don't sound right, and they're not. And the only way that I think we can ever get the closest to truth is to go to the source of truth, and that's God, and see what He has to say. Continuing, it says, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For there thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our king." Isaiah 26:7-9 says, "The way of the just is uprightness. Thou, most upright, dost weigh the path of the just. O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Isaiah 56, 1 through 2. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. I'm reminded of the story of Noah, and there's a verse in the Bible that talks about him in Hebrews 11, and it kind of contrasts him and his family with the rest of the world at that time. There wasn't a lot of justice going on. It was a very violent place. And yet God protected him while he built an ark for the saving of his family. Jesus Christ has protected us by being that ark in his own body, and I'm grateful for that. In Hebrews 11, 6 through 7, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, and this is where I wanted to go, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. In Genesis 6, it says a little bit more about Noah. And I like these verses. Whereas I just read in Hebrews, which is a hall of faith of different ones. Well, in Genesis it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. And that's what I wanted to look in on. Just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. I could imagine that he was burdened with the understanding that the Lord was going to destroy the world, and that he was faithful in all those years with his sons, three sons, building the ark. And it did save his family. You could think that those people that were outside that mocked him, could have burned the ark down. They could have, that was being prepared. But God protected him. And I think because he was a just man and he had faith in God, the Lord protected him. And when the floods finally came, his family were saved. Well, let's look at maybe what happens when we don't have justice. In Isaiah 59, 1 through 21, it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, none, nor any pleadeth for truth. Those are two hallmarks, I think, of a society that's deteriorating, that none calls for justice, and none pleads for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. How much we're doing this with abortion is just incredible, how much innocent blood we're shedding. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold, obscurity for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us, and as our iniquities we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, and equity cannot enter. For truth is fallen in the streets, and equity cannot enter. There is no equality of the law being administered. Truth is far from us. Judgment is turned away backwards, and justice standeth far off, and truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter again. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him. And this is where it gets good, because our Lord was that arm. And his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with the zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, according he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. And unto them that turn from transgressions in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of the seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth. Forever. When the Lord God was in the Garden of Eden, he gave a law to Adam. Before Eve was formed, he told him not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that law Adam violated. Therefore, justice must be served. God could have winked at it, could have, okay, well, no big deal. But it was a big deal. It was a huge big deal. Adam, being our federal head, representative of the whole human race, plunged the whole human race into what I just read. How we leave truth and we grope in darkness in our old nature, and we have no hope apart from the grace of God. The law of sin and death requires that, since Adam sinned against God, and it was a righteous law he gave, that he broke it, then justice had to be served. He could have condemned the whole human race to eternal damnation. He would have, I think, still banned Adam from the garden so that he couldn't eat of the tree of life, but so that he would live forever in that sin state of being. But nevertheless, he would have, you know, lived 930 years, and there would have been children's children, but we would have all been condemned. There would have been no hope for us. It's interesting to me that I believe that the Lord God in the garden there was a pre-bodily form of Jesus Christ. The last Adam was with the first Adam. He gave him the law. Before the world began, the foundations of the world began, a covenant was made between God the Father, the Word, and the Spirit of God, that they would provide a way to save those out of Adam's race and put their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. And there would be, in the fullness of time, when the Word would be made flesh and come to earth to do what? To have justice done on him. Can you imagine a man? Just like Noah. Noah was a sinner. It said he was a just man, but there's no more just man than Jesus Christ. And he lived a perfect life. He obeyed the law, kept it to a jot and tittle, and he was despised and rejected. You would think that the Lord God would have vanquished the enemies at that time. The Father would have, but he didn't. He allowed his Son to be despised and rejected. And then, on that day, that dreadful day of the atonement, he was made to be sin. I can't put my arms around how a man can live such a perfect, godly, holy life as Jesus Christ and then be forsaken by his own Father. Why? Because justice had to be served. Adam was condemned, the whole human race. Jesus Christ had to step in and be punished for what Adam did. And all those whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. He was cut off. The Spirit of God at the sixth hour at 12 noon was removed. And he was made to be sin who knew no sin. I believe that until we see that he was made, we really can't understand the sin that we have. Because it says that we died in him. We were in him during that time. That was 3 hours of darkness. But we didn't suffer. But call it a dimensional time shift or whatever you want. The lake of fire came to him. Because why? That's where we deserve to go. Therefore, he had to experience what we deserve. And for him, that was a no time situation. I believe that if for him during that time, there was no time. It was an eternity. Because why? He couldn't escape. He couldn't deliver himself. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we have a little bit of understanding into being forsaken in words, but we have no idea what it really meant to be forsaken, smitten, bruised of God. So justice was served by Adam breaking that law and the whole human race being plunged into that condition of sin state of being. The law of sin and death required that death must come to Adam and his descendants unless there's someone to stand in the way and take that punishment. And that was Jesus Christ who did that. So we need very much to look at that when justice was served and then mercy can be given to us. There is no mercy unless justice is served. And therefore, the Lord God had a choice, either condemn the whole human race with justice or condemn his Son for the portion of the human race that he redeemed and give them mercy. Therefore, we have to believe that there is truth in election. There is truth in that choice. Because it's not a condition whereby Jesus Christ was made to be sin for the whole world, therefore died for the whole world, or else the whole world would be going to heaven. We can't have it both ways. We have to believe that God was holy and just in what he did, and his righteousness reigns forever. And right now, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, is at the right hand of the Father, executing judgment himself. He has been raised above and given a name above every name. He was made to be what we are. And therefore, in Revelation 22, it pictures a holy city that we have available right now to worship in. When we see the truth of God and what he did through his Son, then we are able to be in that city. And we can be in it right now. Right now we're in that city when we observe this. And it says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. So this morning I want us to consider that there is no, therefore now no condemnation served, justice has been served. Jesus Christ bore our judgment. In Romans 8, 1 through 4, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And that's what I was talking about a while ago. That law was satisfied by God through His Son, Jesus Christ. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In Jude 1:21 it says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We need to look for mercy. The mercy we have is a free gift from what Jesus Christ bore in those 3 hours of darkness. We have mercy. The worst thing that we could do is to not think it was a big deal. It was huge. To live a perfect life, to be despised and rejected of man for 33 and a half years, then to be bruised and smitten by God the Father. And it says that God raised him from the dead. So from that state of being punished, God the Father raised His Son. Is that not what happens to us in regeneration? We're dead in trespasses and sins, and God raises us. Before, we know not God. We are dead to God. Cannot do anything on our own. And it's God, as He raised His Son to life at 3 p.m., the ninth hour, so He will raise us. Then the Lord Jesus Christ had a name above every name, and He had the ability to say, it is finished. Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. And He had the power to lay His own body down. No man took His life. He accomplished experiencing the justice of God. And therefore we have mercy now. And then 3 days later, He picked His own body up. So He had another death. Physically, buried in a borrowed tomb, and He resurrected Himself. And now He sits at the right hand of the Father, executing judgment. And I'm so grateful that we have a Savior, our elder brother, the Son of Man, who went before us and did this, or else we would have no hope. So let's seek that mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I come before Thee, Father, with a grateful heart. I want so much to understand what happened to You, the life that You lived, the perfection that You lived, Lord, and then to be despised and rejected of men. And sometimes we're despised and rejected, but nothing like You had experienced. And then what You experienced during those 3 dark hours, Lord, when hell was Your bed, Lord, and the crown of thorns pierced You continually and the stripes on Your back and poured blood from Your body. But what God, what the Father did to You, Lord Jesus, is what eternally saves us. By taking that judgment, and the justice was put on Thee, O Lord, so that we might have the everlasting life and eternal life. Thank You, Father, for that. And help us to know more about it and to seek that mercy that You were given and to share with others. Please help this nation, Father. We need truth and justice. We need so badly to not be allowed to continue to go the way that would destroy us. So I ask that You raise a standard, and that standard is Jesus Christ. And through our sharing of the gospel, Father, which is light and unto life and immortality, maybe Thou would preserve us, Father, and keep us from being destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah. So please, Father, may there be righteousness in this land. Please bless those that have been mentioned as sick, and we ask that you would be with them. And please bless Brother Mart as he comes before us to share on his heart what you have given to him. Thank you, Father. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.